Proverbs 10:13 says, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Now, we don't look for someone claiming to be a wise man and then just believe everything that comes from his lips. To the contrary, we listen to what a man says, we test it, we observe it, we see if it is wise, and then we know that we're listening to the lips of a wise man. God's word is wise, but only when understood and applied correctly. This is called exegesis, spelled E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. You consider the context, the intended audience, the intent of the author or speaker, and then you compare Scripture with Scripture in order to reach a sure, accurate interpretation of a text. The Bible is not to be of some private interpretation. The meaning is clear. But what you get from many Bible quoters is what is called eisegesis, E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. You ignore the context. You ignore the intent of the author or speaker and divorce the text from the rest of Scripture. Fools invent interpretations and meanings of Bible texts that are completely removed from the biblical reality. All the cults and false religions do this. And that's also true of any other source or piece of literature. You take the U.S. Constitution, for example. Wicked liberals invented the idea of a living, breathing Constitution, which simply means that they can choose to ignore the context, ignore the intent of the founders, even ignore legal precedents, in order to find, for example, the right of a woman to pay for a murder-for-hire abortionist to kill the human child in her womb, called abortion by those who don't want you to think of murder. Go read the 14th Amendment to the Constitution and try to explain the right to abortion in that amendment, without consulting, of course, the twisted legalese produced in 1973 by the Supreme Court justices, the seven of them, who voted to legalize Roe v. Wade. Those seven wicked justices who voted to legalize abortion lied and died, unrepentant, with the blood of millions of murdered babies on their hands, as they, right now, having, as far as we know, went to their graves rejecting Jesus Christ. Right now, they suffer torment in hell. They each perverted the English language the same way Lucifer perverts languages. We see that in Genesis 3, Matthew 4, and Luke 4. But those seven justices were looked upon then and still are to this day by millions as wise men. They join the ranks of other supposed Bible-rejecting wise men who also are burning in hell right now. Confucius, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, Buddha, Muhammad, Voltaire, Darwin, Freud, Spock, Sagan, Wayne Dyer. Think about it. Some of the most highly respected and widely quoted men of our day, men whose lips uttered what the world holds to be the highest wisdom ever heard by human ears. They were so foolish that they rejected the God of the Bible and His Bible. If you'll think in terms of the long term, think in terms of eternity, then you won't be impressed or influenced by the hordes of supposed wise men and wise women, in quotes, who are honored and extolled by the world today. And by the way, that includes Christ-rejecting conservative politicians and political talk show hosts. I've seen numerous Christians who started out with a firm foundation on the fundamentals of Christianity and the authority of the Word of God, only to be talked into pluralistic ecumenicalism by conservatives. People like Dennis Prager, Ben Shapiro, and Glenn Beck, and others. You know, whether it's a Jew, a Mormon, a liberal Protestant, Roman Catholic, or even a conservative agnostic, a conservative who rejects Jesus Christ as Messiah and rejects the biblical gospel, they're a fool. And if you follow them, you are simply being foolish. And then, of course, you turn around and start echoing what you've heard from them when they tell you that we shouldn't really care about differences of religion and that sort of thing. Then you become a fool. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found.